The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Yevamot. Masechet Yevamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlacha Varvaha Mechol Maaseh Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nahat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen. Just a note of interest. As we study Masechet Yevamot, many of the cases need diagrams. We have chosen the Sefer Siyurim l'Masechet Yevamot as our book for the diagrams, written by Aharon Shlomo Berabi Baruch Moshe Hafner, available in the bookstore. So when we refer to pages, we are using that sefer. Daf Memhet. Today's daf is being studied, the Ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenichenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Memchet Amud Rishon, and we start right at the beginning of the Amud on the top line, starting with the words Amar Rava. We learned in yesterday's sugya a very important mahloket between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbanan. The mahloket concerned an Eved Kena'ani. The process of buying an Eved Kena'ani is, fellow buys the Eved, a Jew, and he immerses him in a mikveh. At that point, the Eved has partial obligation of mitzvot on him, and he's considered Jewish, partially. However, after the Eved goes free, the master must dip the Eved again in the mikveh, and at that point he becomes a full-fledged Yehudi, meaning he's obligated in all the mitzvot. So there's a machloket when he's immersed in the mikveh the second time. Does he have to accept upon himself all mitzvot at that time, or can he be even dipped against his will? Which means, so long as his master puts him in the mikveh a second time, so he's considered free and he's obligated in mitzvot. Well, that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He says that you're able to force the eved to the mikveh, and he does not have to make a formal acceptance of the mitzvot. Whereas according to Rabbanan, they said no, that indeed the Eved must accept willingly upon himself the mitzvot. So now the Gemara is going to substantiate this machloket. Amarava, Maita Amad Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. What's the reason of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that says in Eved, when he dips in the mikveh the second time, so he doesn't have to even accept upon himself the mitzvot, it can even be against his will? So the Gemara says, Dichtiv, because we have a pasuk by Korban Pesach, Kol Eved Ish Miknat Kasef. The full pasuk says that Vechol Eved Ish, regarding a person that, let's say, has an Eved, Miknat Kasef, that he owns, Umalta Oto, so the owner has to circumcise this Eved, as Yochalbo, then it is permissible for him to eat from the Korban Pesach, which means in Eved Kena'ani, in order for him to be able to eat from Korban Pesach, he has to have first a circumcision. So the Gemara now is Doresh. Kol Eved Ish, Miknat Kasef, so the Gemara says, Eved Ish, Velo Eved Isha. What does it mean? Only an Eved that's owned by an Ish, by a man, needs a Brit Milah to eat Korban Pesach, but not an Eved owned by a lady? What is the word Ish coming to exclude? Only an Eved owned by a man? But let's say a lady owns an Eved. What, she doesn't have to make sure that he's circumcised before he eats from the Korban Pesach? Ela, the Gemara says, you know what the Ish is teaching us? Eved Ish Atamal Ba'al Korho. That when it comes to the Eved of an Ish, one is permissible to circumcise him against his will. Which means when it comes to an Eved Kena'ani, to eat the Korban Pesach, he has to be circumcised. The circumcision can even be against his will. V'yata mal ben Ish ba'al korho. But a regular convert, meaning a regular goy that comes to convert a ben ish, is not a eved. So for him to accept upon himself yahadut, he has to accept it upon himself willingly. He cannot be baal korcho. So from this pasuk, the Gemara is being doresh, there's a difference between an eved and a regular person that's coming to convert. An eved can even be against his will, where a regular person has to be willingly. Now the question is, how did he get this out of the Pesukim? So we have to read Rashi together. We read Rashi on the second line. Eved ish, velo eved isha. The cross is bitmiah. The isha shekanta avadim, a lady that buys servants. Velo malu, and she did not circumcise them. Milu avikash ar avadim. They're no different than any other abadim. So therefore there's no difference between an eved that belongs to an ish or an eved that belongs to an isha. Ela al korhach, therefore Rashi says from the Gemara, hai ish, you know what the word ish in that pasuk says? Eved ish ha'oved kochavim. It's referring to a goy. Shemachro ka'e, where a goy, let's say, sold his eved to a Jew. So it's eved ish. It's an eved that belonged to an ish, to a goy, who sold his eved to a Jew, ben ish, to the exclusion of a stam, a child of a goy. And the pasuk means like this: Vachi kamar, eved shelakachta min ha'oved kochavim, an eved that you took from the goy, atam mal ba'al korcho shel eved. You're able to circumcise him even against his will. V'atam mal, but you do not circumcise ben oved kochavim be'alma. They love eved ba'al korcho, which means a regular goy that comes to convert. Meaning he's the son of Oved Kochavim that comes to convert, so you cannot circumcise him against his will. Umidichtiv Rahmana Ish, from the fact that Torah uses the word Eved Ish, the word Ish, Krayetera Lemeute Ben Ish. Which means, the Pasuk is telling us, who can be circumcised against their will? Eved Ish. She's the Eved that you bought from an Ish. However, a Ben Ish, a child from a Goy, you cannot do it against his will. Shma minna. So we learn from over there. Umalta oto ba'al korcho mashma. Now the pasuk says umalta oto. You shall circumcise him. Malta sounds like it's even against his will. Di'im da'to. Because if you're telling me that the word umalta means you can even do it willingly, hechi mima'et leben ish. So then what are you saying? That a regular goy, you cannot circumcise him willingly? Cannot be. Of course you can circumcise him willingly. So therefore the word umalta must mean against his will. And the hadush is that an eved kanani can be circumcised against his will, whereas a regular goy, a ben ish, cannot be circumcised against his will, meaning it has to be willingly. V'i lo ketiv ish. Now if the pasuk wouldn't have said ish at all, hava mina hay eved lav lemi'ute ben ata ela higufa etzterich lashmi'inan demidat avadim ma'akeva bepesach. Which means, and if it didn't say the word ish at all, so then I would just tell me the pasuk is just teaching me that if a person has avadim and he wants to eat from the Korban Pesach, he must make sure that they are circumcised. But now that comes and tells me ish, so I learned the chidush that an eved that you bought from an ish, from a goy, umalta oto, could even be against his will. Then she brings a different interpretation. Lashon acher ve'ikari, likes this interpretation better, as a matter of fact. Eved ish, hachi ka'amar, eved shehu ish. So the word ish of him means eved, that is an ish, meaning he's a gadol. You have an eved, he's an adult. Afal pishu gadol uben da'at, even though let's say he's an adult, umalta oto ba'al korcho, you're able to circumcise him again against his will. V'yata mal ben shehu ish ger habalit gayir, which means, but a boy, a man that comes to convert, who's the son of a goy, en lo koach lemul beno gadol ba'al korcho. Which means, let's say you have a fellow, he wants to convert and he wants his son to convert. So he cannot bring his son against his will. Ben Ish, meaning the son of a fellow that wants to convert, not an Eved, I'm a regular guy. He has to circumcise his children. So therefore, let's just review the derasha that's taking place over here according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He's basically learning a pasuk by Korban Pesach that says, any Eved Ish, which means even though the Eved is an Ish, meaning he's an Eved Kanani, he's an adult, doesn't matter. You're able to umalta oto against his will. So what's the Ish coming to exclude? Now, Eved, who is an adult, but a regular goy, that's an adult, that's an ish, that let's say, for example, his father's coming to convert, so he's able to convert, but it has to be willingly. Because then you don't have this derasha abu malta against his will. So that's the source for the Bishmon ben el-Azhar to teach us that what? That a Eved, when we convert him, it can be even against his will. Oh, so now we have to see how the rabbis learn, because the rabbis say it cannot be against his will, it has to be done willingly. So how do they learn this pasuk? The Rabbanan, according to the rabbis, Amar Ula. So Ula explains it. Keshem shi'ata mal ben ish ba'al korho. Chamim say the opposite. Just like a regular goy that comes to convert, you cannot convert him against his will. It has to be willingly. Kach hi ata mal eved ish ba'al korho. So too, eved ish, an eved kena'ani, can also not be done against his will. Ve'era haketiv. But what do you mean? The pasuk says, ve'chol eved ish. So is the pasuk we just said that the eved ish umalta oto can be done against his will. How do you learn this pasuk? Ha'hu mebe'ele l'kede Shmuel. We need it for Shmuel's teaching. Da'amar Shmuel ha'mafkir avdo. If a person frees his eved kena'ani, actually not frees him, mafkir is he pronounces him hefker, which means he makes his eved kena'ani ownerless. He relinquishes ownership from his eved kena'ani, yatza l'chirut. That enough, relinquishing ownership and making the eved hefker, sends the eved out free, ve'en sarik get shechrur. And he doesn't even need a get shechrur, which means a document of freedom. Normally in an eved, when you send them free, you have to write him a shtar, you have to write him a document. However, when you relinquish your ownership and make the Eved Hefker finish, he's freed himself. He doesn't even need a get shechrur. Shana Emad, call Eved Ish Miknat Kasif. So the rabbis of Doresh like this. Know what the word Eved Ish teaches me? That an Eved is only an Eved if there's an Ish over him. Which means if he has an Ish, a master over him, he's called an Eved. Eved ish velo eved isha. So the Gemara goes to the Rasha. What do you mean? Eved ish, only an eved of a man, and not the eved of a lady? Which means a lady could have an eved also. What is the word ish coming to tell me? Ela eved sheyesh lo lirishut rabo alav, an eved that has a master over him, that's dominating him. Karu eved. He's called an eved, meaning an eved ish. Only an eved that has an ish over him. Vesheen rishut rabo alav. But if, let's say, the owner does not have domination over him, for example, let's say he relinquished his ownership, he made him ifkir in karui eved. He's not called an eved. So therefore, we learn from this pasuk according to the banan, when it says eved ish, it means that an eved is only considered an eved so long as there's an ish, a master of him. But once there's no master of him, he's free. And therefore, when a man is mafkir his eved, making hefker, that means you're relinquishing your ownership, you're saying he's free, he's hefkerut, that's considered you sent him free. He's not an eved anymore because he has no ish over him because you relinquished the ownership. You mafkir him. So therefore, he learns from this pasuk Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Shmuel ben Elazar. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elazar learned from this pasuk Eved Ish, that we're talking about an Eved that's an Ish, so then Umalta Oto, you can circumcise him even against his will. So he learns that the Gerut of the Eved can be again Baal Korcho. Whereas according to Rabbanan, they say no. Eved Ish is teaching me a different Hiddush, that an Eved that has an Ish, that has a master over him, he's called an Eved. But once there's no master over him, he's not called an Eved. Nafka Mina, if a person is mafkir his Eved, that means he relinquishes his ownership from the Eved, he's not called an Eved, he's free. He doesn't even get shechrur, which is, you might have thought that if a person just relinquishes and says, I'm mafkir my Eved, maybe you have to write him a document, because maybe there's still some attachment. No! An Eved is only an Eved when there's an Ish, when there's a master. But once the Eved is relinquished from his master by the master saying you are hefker, so he goes free. So that's the machloket between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Hachamim, how to learn this pasuk. Now, if you remember in yesterday's daf, we learned what is the source for this derasha. So we said it came from the law of Yifat Toar. That's the lady that was taken into captivity when the warriors went out to war. So the law over there was that she has to dip also in the mikveh for conversion. So according to the Bishmon ben Elazar, he said she also can be dipped against her will, and automatically she becomes Yehudiyah. Whereas according to Hachamim, they said no, that the Eshet Yefatot, this lady also has to be dipped dafka Miratzon. She has to be dipped willingly. And if she doesn't want to do it willingly immediately, you wait 30 days until she'll do it willingly. So the rabbi said, just like the Yifat To'ar lady
has to be, she's a goya, when you convert her, she has to dip in the mikveh, she has to accept upon herself all mitzvot willingly, so to the Eved Kenani. He doesn't make a difference between the Yifator going to the mikveh and an Eved Kenani going to the mikveh. So now the papa is going to make a question on this. Matkif la papa, imur dishamatul rabbanan bi Yifator. Maybe I'll tell you the only reason why the Yifator lady has to go when she goes to the mikveh has to be done willingly, de lo sheikha be mitzvot, because she's not connected to the mitzvot bichlal. She was a goya, and therefore she's accepting upon herself mitzvot from scratch. That's why the Rabbanan says she has to accept all mitzvot when she goes to the mikveh. It cannot be done against her will. Aval eved teshayach b'mitzvot. But in eved, as I told you, that when he's bought as a slave, already he's dipped in the mikveh the first time, and if he's connected already to the mitzvot, he has obligations to certain mitzvot. Maybe the rabbis will agree that since an eved is connected to the mitzvot, so the second time that he dips in the mikveh before he goes out free, maybe it could be against his will. Maybe he doesn't have to accept the mitzvot at that point already, because already he has mitzvot on him. So there's no comparison, according to Rav Papa, between the eshet yifator and the Eved Kenani. We can make a chiluk that the Eshet Yifator, she already has no connection to the mitzvot. So therefore, when she goes to the mikveh, it has to be done with Kabbalah, has to be done willingly. But she the Eved Kenani, I could tell you already, he's connected to the mitzvot when he's going into the mikveh. Because when he was bought originally, he had a connection to the mitzvot because he had a dip in the mikveh the first time. So therefore, no comparison. Therefore, the papa is saying maybe the rabbis will agree to the Bishamon ben Elchazar that an Eved Kenani, when he goes to the mikveh, could even be done against his will, and he does not have to accept upon himself all mitzvot, and do not compare it to the Eshet Yifator. Now the Gemara proves this from a Braita, the Tanya, Echad Ger, whether it's a regular convert, Echad Lokeh, Eved Menach Oved Kuchavim, or a person, let's say, buys a Eved from an Oved Kuchavim, Sarich Lekabel. So the Braita says he has to accept upon himself all mitzvot willingly, but that's only because he bought him from a Goy. When he bought him from the Goy, so he had no mitzvot Bechlal, because he was originally owned by the Goy, the Eved. However, the Gemara makes a diuk, ha-lokeh mi-Yisrael, but implying if you were bought the Eved from Yisrael, which means already by the Yisrael he has some mitzvot. En sarich lekabel. He does not have to accept upon himself all mitzvot when you dip in the mikveh. Ha-mani, who's the author of this braita? Either Bishimon ben Elazar, if you're going to tell me the author is Bishimon ben Elazar, ha-amar lokeh min-Oved kuchavim nameh en sarich lekabel. Which means according to Bishimon ben Elazar, even if you bought the Eved from a Goy that had no connection to the mitzvot, he still says you can dip him against his will. So this braita cannot be fitting according to the Bishamon and Azar, because this braita says if you buy him from a Goy, you have to dip him willingly. El alav Rabbanan. And I must be going according to the opinion of Rabbanan. V'shmatmina, and the hadush over here is, telokeach min ha'oved kuchavim sarich lekabel. That only when he buys the Goy from an Oved kuchavim, at that point, the Eved had no connection to any mitzvot. That's why you have to dip him, and he has to accept the mitzvot. However, if you bought him from Israel, so already by the Israel he had some mitzvot in his first dipping. So therefore, when you dip him the second time, en sarich lekabel, you do not have to accept. Why? Because he's shayach b'mitzvot. So we have a braita to support this opinion of the papa, the way he explains the shita of the rabbanan that an eved kenani does not have to be miratzon. So the Gemara says ve'ela kashya, but we have a question because we learned in an earlier braita the following language, Echad Ger ve'Echad Eved Meshuchrar. We said that there's a comparison between a regular Ger and an Eved Meshuchrar. So we understood till now the comparison is between a regular Ger and an Eved Meshuchrar, that both when they go to the mikveh for Gerut, it has to be done willingly. But now that you tell me that even the Rabbanan say that the Eved does not have to be done willingly, because already he had Sheikhut to the mitzvot in his first dipping, as we just learned in the Braita, that if he bought him from a Jew, so since he was Sheikh b'mitzvot already by the first owner, so when the second owner buys him, he can even dip him against his will. So then what's the connection in the Braita when it said Echad Ger ve'Echad Eved Kenani? Really, they're different, because again, when he converts, has to be done midatzon, but an Eved Kenani can even be done against his will. So what was that connection to the Braita I was talking about? Gemara says, Ki Tanya, Yan Tevila, Tanya. Right, that was referring to Tevila, that both need Tevila in a mikveh. That's the comparison. Had Eved, Vehad Ger, that what? And when they're going to convert, they're going to need a Tevila in the mikveh. That was the explanation, and that's the comparison between them. But really, we'll tell you that Ben Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Ben according to the Banan, they do not need a Kabbalah b'mitzvot, because already they're Shayach b'mitzvot mitkila. Unless, according to the Banan, if the Eved Kenani was bought from a Goy, So then he wasn't shayach b'mitzvot at all, because already by the goy he had no mitzvot. Then in echad amid, Rabbanan will say, when eventually he's dipped l'shem chirut, l'shem yahadut, of course it has to be done willingly, because he had no mitzvot. But the Bishul Omer Lazar will say, even in that case, where he bought an evit from a goy, everything can be done against his will. So that's really where the machlok between the Bishul Omer Lazar and the Rabbanan is, by buying an evit from a goy. Comes the Gemara and continues, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Now we're discussing now some of the laws of the Eshet Yifat Torah. That's the lady that is taken from captivity in war, and we say that the Torah allowed us to convert her in order that the man was able to, the Jewish soldier will be able to be with her. So the Gemara says, V'gileha et rosha, part of the process is that she has to shave her hair, V'haseta et ziporneha, and she has to do her nails. So now the Gemara is going to explain, what does this mean, Ve'aseta et ziporneha? She will do her nails. The Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer takutz. It means that she has to cut them. Rabbi Akiva Omer takdil. When Rabbi Akiva says no, it means she has to grow them. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer proves this point. Ne'emra asiya berosh. It says by the rosh, by her hair, Ve'gileha. That means she has to cut them. Ve'ne'emra asiya b'siponayim. And it says the word asiya by siponaim, the vaseta et siponea, ma lehalan ha'avara, just like by the hair, where she's doing an action, means she removes her hair, afkan ha'avara. So to over here, when it says vaseta et siponea, it's similar to what it said by the hair. Just like by the hair, the action was vegileha, she removes it. So to by the siponaim, it means she must cut her nails. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ne'emar Asiya Berosh, Ne'emar Asiya B'Siponaim. Rabbi Akiva says, yes, it says that there was an action done by the hair, the Gilehan. It says there's an action, V'aseta et Siponea. Ma la'lan nivul afkan nivul. Which means he makes a comparison like this. Just like the cutting of the hair is done in order to make her ugly, because we're trying to dissuade the man from being with her before she converts, which means we don't want him to come to be with us. So therefore the Torah says, let her make herself ugly. How does she make herself ugly? Nivul, she cuts her hair off. So therefore, v'asetat siponea means also she makes herself ugly. How? By letting her nails grow long. That is a form of making her uncomely, and therefore the fellow might change his mind. So comes again, we have a fantastic machlok between Rabbi the Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, and what the pasuk means, v'asetat siponea. Does it mean that she cuts her nails? That's Rabbi the Eliezer shita, or does it mean she grows her nails? And both are learning it from the derasha of how you learn the connection between v'gilehat rosha. So Rabbi the Eliezer says, just like cutting hair, so to v'aseta, she does her nails, means cutting nails. According to Rabbi Akiva, no, just like cutting hair makes her uncomely, so to growing nails will make her uncomely as well. That's the connection. So the Gemara says, v'ra'ayah l'dever Rabbi the Eliezer, we bring a proof to Rabbi the Eliezer that means removing her nails. Because the pasuk says in the Navi, Mefiboshet ben Shaul yarad dekat ha-melech. Mefiboshet, the son of Shaul, came to greet David. Lo asal raglav. He did not do his feet. So that she explains, that means he did not cut his nails. Lo asal raglav. Velo asal sefamo. Nor did he cut his mustache, his beard. My asiya ha'avara. And what does asiya mean in that pasuk? Ha'avara, removal. So you see a pasuk in the Navi that also uses the word asiya, and it's referring to removal of the nails. So that's what it means by the Eshet Yifat Torah. Comes the Gemara and says, Taru Rabbanan, we have a Braita. And the Braita quotes a pasuk from the story of the Yifat Torah. Ubacheta et aviha ve'et imah. It says, for 30 days she will cry over her mother and father. So what is this referring to? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Aviha, Aviha Mamash. It means her actual physical biological father. Ima, Ima Mamash. And it means she'll cry over her physical biological mother, because now she was separated by them. Which means the Torah is telling us that before she converts, we want her for 30 days to get it out of our system, to cry over the fact that she's been taken away from her family till she calms down, and now she can accept her new situation. So therefore she has to cry over her mother and father. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Aviha ve'imazu Avodah Zarah. No, when it says her mother and her father, it refers to her Avodah Zarah, the idolatry that she was worshipping. Which means, because now she has to leave the Avodah Zarah and accept upon herself Yehadut. V'chinu Omer, how do we know mother and father is reference to Avodah Zarah? Because the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Omrim la'etz avi ata. Those that say to the etz, to the tree, you are my father. And the end of the Pasuk says, V'la'evin, and to the stone, at yiledatnu. which means the mother and the father is also a reference to the Avodah Zarah of a person. Therefore she has to cry over it, which means that now she has to leave the Avodah Zarah. And how long does she do this crying? Each one according to his opinion, either for the biological parents or for the fact that now she cannot worship Avodah Zarah. So it says, Yerach Yamim. Yerach Yamim. So what is this Yerach Yamim? So the Gemara says, Yerach Yamim, Yerach Shiloshim Yom. A Yerach is a month. How long is a month? 30 days. So that's the first opinion. The Bishop Omer El-Ghazar Omer, Tishrim Yom. He says 90 days. How do you get 90 days? Yerach Shiloshim. Because the word Yerach means 30. Yamim, now Yamim, Shiloshim is another 30. So therefore, Yerach 30. Then it says the word Yamim, that would be another 30. So for that 60. And then the Pasuk says, Ve'achar kin. And then she can convert and the fellow is allowed to be with her. Ve'achar kin, which is even after the 60 days, the Yerach and then the Yamim, Ve'achar kin. Then after that, it's much where there's still another waiting period. Shiloshim. So another 30. So therefore it's 90. So it's Yerach 30, Yamim 30, Ve'achar kin. And then after that, which means another 30, then it's permissible for her to convert and the fellow can be with her. So that's 90 days. Matkif la Ravina. So Ravina has a question. Ema Yerach Shiloshim. Maybe I'll tell you that Yerach is 30 days. Yamim Shiloshim. Again, the word Yamim is another 30 days. That's 60. Ve'achar kin. And then after that means that maybe you have to wait the same amount of time that you waited till now. I mean, you waited 60, ve'achar kin, and after that time meaning another 60. So maybe it's 120, kihani, like the first waiting. So 60 plus 60. So the Gemara says, kasha, you're right. According to this understanding, that would be a question. Why is only saying 90? Why shouldn't it be 120? The Gemara leaves that in a kasha. Taru Rabbanan, we have a braita. Mekayemim abadim she'enam malim. Rabbi Akiva Omer and Mekayemin. A very important machloke between two Tanaim. Rabbi Ishmael says we're allowed to keep in our jurisdiction Abadim, which means an Eved Kanaani that does not yet accept upon himself conversion, which means he does not do a Brit Milah. We're allowed to keep him in our possession. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, he says, no sir, you're not allowed to keep an Eved Kanaani if he's not going to willing to circumcise himself. And Tosfot says that we learn that from Avraham Abinu, that all his servants, what the Pasuk says, he had to circumcise. And then what Rabbi Akiva says, that if they're not willing to circumcise, you cannot keep the Eved in your possession. Where Rabbi Ishmael says, no, it's not a problem. Amar de Rabbi Ishmael, so Rabbi Ishmael is going to prove his opinion. Hare Omer, we have a Pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says like this, Sheshet Yamim Ta'aseh Ma'asecha, Ubayom HaShevi'it Tishpot. 6 days you go to work, on the seventh day you rest. And then the Pasuk tells us who rests. So one of the people that rests, it says, V'yinafesh bin amatecha, that your servant shall also rest. V'yinafesh, he should rest. Now this pasuk, as we're going to prove in the Gemara, is talking about a servant that was not circumcised. So therefore we see in the pasuk that what? It's possible that a person must have a servant in his possession that's not circumcised, because the Torah is telling you that one of the people that has to keep the Shabbat is ben amatecha. And that's talking about an Eved that was not circumcised. It must be in your possession. So Rabbi Ishmael is going to say, so must be you're allowed to keep him. So the Torah is talking about him and it's about his Shabbat observance. So must be you have him in your possession. So the Gemara says, Amar le. So therefore, again, Amar le Rabbi Ishmael, Hare Omer, the Pasuk says, V'yinafesh ben amatecha. So you see what? That there's a concept of ben amatecha, that the servant is in your possession and you're able to, he has to be Shomer Shabbat. Now, how can he be Shomer Shabbat if he's not in your possession? Ela must be you're allowed to keep an Eved even though he's not willing to convert. Amar le, so Rabbi Akiva says, no, Belokeach Eved Ben HaShemashot, Velo Hispik Lemulo HaKatum Medaber. You know what the case is talking? Where you bought the Eved right before Shabbat, in the twilight, and therefore you weren't able to circumcise him on that Shabbat. So that's why the Torah says, for the first Shabbat, since you weren't able to circumcise him, so he has to keep the Shabbat until next week, where you have a whole week to circumcise him. And if he doesn't want to accept upon himself Gerut by that time, with the circumcision, then already you have to let him go. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not a heter to keep an Eved in your possession without circumcision. On the contrary, it's a specific case where you bought the Eved right before Shabbat. So there was no time to circumcise, because you don't circumcise Avadim on Shabbat. So the Torah says, okay, in the interim he has to keep the Shabbat, but what? After Shabbat is over, you must circumcise him. And if you don't, then you have to let him go. So therefore we have a fantastic machloket between the two Tanaim. Now the Gemara is going to prove to me, how do I know in that pasuk that says that the ben amatecha has to keep Shabbat, that's talking about an eved that was not circumcised. V'yinafesh ben amatecha v'kule alma miha v'yinafesh ben amatecha v'eved arel keti. Which everybody agrees that this is talking about a eved that is uncircumcised. Me'em mashma, how do you know that? The Tanya, because we have a braita. V'yinafesh ben amatecha v'eved arel katum adabe. This pasuk is referring to an eved that did not circumcised. Ata omer be'eved arel. You're saying it's talking about an eved arel. Or eno ela be'eved mahul. How do you know? Maybe it's talking about an eved that's circumcised. Keshu omer, because we have another pasuk that says, Leman yanuach avdecha ve'amatecha kamocha. It says that your eved, we have another pasuk that says, your eved and your ama have to observe the Shabbat. That's not a regular eved. Hare eved mahul amur. That's not a regular eved that was circumcised. Ha ma'ani mikayem v'nafesh ben amatecha. So then what is the other pasuk that says v'nafesh ben amatecha? Be'eved arel. That's referring to an eved that is uncircumcised. Now the end of the pasuk says v'nafesh ben amatecha v'hagir. Now what type of ger are we referring to that also is obligated to keep the Shabbat? So the Gemara says, ve'ager ze ger toshav. A ger toshav is a goy in Eretz Yisrael that accepts upon himself not to worship Avodah Zarah and to keep the seven mitzvot. He's called a ger toshav. He's not a ger tzedek. He's not a regular full convert that's accepting Yehadut upon himself, but it's a ger toshav. He accepts upon himself not to worship Avodah Zarah, and he accepts upon himself also the seven mitzvot. And the Torah is telling us that he's also hayav now in keeping the Shabbat. And the Gemara is going to explain why is he obligated in keeping the Shabbat. He's really not a Yehudi. He's really just a ger toshav. He's accepting upon himself seven mitzvot. But since he accepted upon himself not to worship Avodah Zarah, and we know there's another Gemara that says, Kola mehalel Shabbat, ki ilu oved Avodah Zarah, so that's like Avodah Zarah. That anybody that worships Avodah Zarah, that is mehalel Shabbat, it's like you're doing Avodah Zarah. So therefore, to show you how strong Shabbat is, that it's like idolatry. And therefore, since he accepted upon himself not to worship Avodah Zarah, this ger toshav that we call him. So therefore, he also obligated to keep Shabbat. So that's what the pasuk means, ve'agir. Now the Gemara is going to teach us this. Ve'agir, ze ger toshav. Ata omer ze ger toshav. You're telling me that it's a ger toshav. Maybe it's a regular full convert. How do you know it's a ger toshav? Keshu omer, because we have another pasuk. And the pasuk says over here, that lo ta'aseh kol melacha, and the pasuk says, ve'gerecha asher b'sharecha. Who's also obligated not to do any melacha on Shabbat? The ger that's in your gates. Hare ger tzedek amur. Already that pasuk is talking about a ger tzedek. Ha'mani mikayim v'hagir. So what is the other pasuk of v'hagir must be talking about? Ze ger toshav. Must be talking about v'ger toshav. Amar b'yoshua b'nevi, ha'lokeach eved min ha'oved kuchavim. Let's say a person bought an eved from the Oved Kuchemim, ve'lo ratza damun. He did not want to circumcise. Megalgel emo ad shnem asar chodesh. So Rabbi Yeshua says, you have to talk to him. You give him a year's time to talk to him, to try to give him divrei Torah, to try to coax him into becoming a ger. Lo mal, but after 1 year trying to talk to him, and he still doesn't want to circumcise, chozer umuchro le'ovde kochavim. So then you have to sell him to a oved kochavim, which means according to Rabbi Yeshua, you give him 1 year's time. If the year is up, you got to sell him. Now, it should be noted that this is even according to the Bishlom and el-Hazar. Where the Bishlom and el-Hazar, we learned earlier, even according to the Banan, some opinions say that you could dip the eved against his will, but that's only from the Torah law. But Midrabanan, even the Bishlom and el-Hazar, the rabbis will agree that it's not proper to have an eved who does not want to become a ger working for you, because he's going to trip you up, he's going to give you things that are not kasher and stuff like that. So therefore, they would also agree that it's not proper to keep this eved by you. After a year already, he doesn't want to accept upon himself, so you have to throw him out. Amarua Rabbanan kamed Rabbapa. So they said this halakha for Rabbapa. So he says, Keman, who's this opinion like? Delo Rabbi Akiva. Cannot be going like Rabbi Akiva. Di Rabbi Akiva amar en mikayimin. Which is, we learned earlier, Rabbi Akiva says, you're not allowed to keep an eved that doesn't want to circumcise himself even for 1 day. So this opinion of Rabbi Yeshua cannot be going like Rabbi Akiva, because he says you have a year to talk to him. So therefore we see it's not going like Rabbi Akiva. He says, no. Amar lu Rabbapa afilu tema Rabbi Akiva. So the Papa says it could even be going like Rabbi Akiva. Hani mi dehecha delo paskal lemilte. When did Rabbi Akiva say that you have to throw him out immediately? When you bought him, he never accepted upon himself conversion at all. So therefore, he says, if he never accepted upon himself at all, you have to throw him out immediately. But let's say, Pascal le Milte, but in a place, let's say, that he just stopped from his way. Meaning, originally when you bought him, he accepted upon himself Gerut. But what? Pascal le Milte, then he changed his mind, so then paska. So then the deed is going to be that we give him 12 months. Which means that Rabbi Akiva wants to make a chiluk. If the guy never accepted upon himself giru when you bought him, so then already we don't give him any chance. You got to throw him, send him out immediately, you can sell him. You can't keep him by you. But in the case where, let's say, when you bought him, he said, yeah, I'll accept upon myself gerut. And then before he did it, he changed his mind. So since already he accepted it once, so we could assume that, well, maybe he'll change his mind. So that even Rabbi Akiva will agree that you give him the 12 months. So there's a difference where he came in adamantly that I'm not accepting gerut at all, then you got to get rid of him immediately on day one. But if he came in and he said, yeah, I'll accept, and then he just changed his mind, so maybe we can change his mind back. So therefore, that's the way that Papa wants to understand Rabbi Akiva. So let's read those words again. Where he did not change his mind, which means he came in adamantly that he does not want to accept Gerut, and lo paskam, he never stopped his old ways. However, where he stopped his old ways, where he accepted upon himself Gerut, let's say, paska. So then already, we see already once he was willing to change his way. So therefore, we could take a year to try to talk him into it, even if he changes his mind. Amar Rav Kana. So Rav Kana said, Amrite l'shmata. I said this opinion of Rav Papa, Kamed Rav Zvid min Harde'a. From Rav Zvid from the Harde'a. Amar li. So he told me, if that's the case, that Rabbi Akiva is saying that, Ki ka'amar li Rabbi Akiva, belokeh hevet ben Hashem Ashot, lishni leha. Which means earlier, we learned in the Pasuk, that talking about v'yinafesh ben amatecha. And we said, what type of v'yinafesh ben amatecha that has to keep Shabbat? That's talking about an eved that's not circumcised. So Rabbi Akiva learned the case, it's talking where you bought the eved ben Hashem Ashot, where there was no time to circumcise him, therefore you had to throw him out. But the first Shabbat he has to keep because you didn't have time to circumcise him, but if, after that you have to throw him out. Why do you have to learn that case? Ben Hashem Ashot, that he bought an eved right before Shabbat. You could have learned the case like we're saying now, which means the case that we're learning now is talking about a regular Eved that accepted upon himself Gerut originally and then changed his mind. So this guy you can keep for 12 months. So therefore, why did you have to learn the Pasuk that Yenafesh Ben Amatecha is talking about a Ger that you bought Ben Hashem Ashot, that an Eved that you bought Ben Hashem Ashot? Even not Ben Hashem Ashot, you could have answered the Akiva, talking about a regular Eved that accepted upon himself Gerut originally and then changed his mind. So then he has to keep Shabbat as long as he's with you. It's because you have 12 months. So why didn't he explain the pasuk like that? So the Gemara says, you're right. Hada metre ta'me ka'amar. He said, one of two reasons. Which means we can explain the pasuk either that when it says the ben amatecha, yinafesh ben amatecha, means you bought him right before ben Hashem Ashot, so there was no time for benit milah. So for the first Shabbat he has to keep. Or it's talking about an eved that accepted upon himself gerut, but then changed his mind, so he can keep for a year. So during the whole year he has to keep Shabbat. Shalach Ravin mishemed Rabbi Elai. Ravin sent from the name of Rabbi Elai. Vechol Rabotai. And he made a statement to Rabbi Elai in the name of all the Rabbanim. Amruli mishemo. They said, all the rabbis said, all the Achamim said in the name of Rabbi Elai, what type of Eved that's not circumcised are we permissible to keep? Well, let's say originally it was stipulated that at the time of the purchase that he's not going to be circumcised, which means the condition was clear from the beginning. So that's the way this opinion is learning, that you're allowed to keep such an Eved, where it was totally stipulated from the beginning. So they said this halakha for the papa. I said, come on, who's this going like? The Lord could be Akiva. This cannot be going to be Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, you're not allowed to keep him for one day. So this cannot be going like Rabbi Akiva. So the papa said, no, afilu tem Rabbi Akiva. We can say it's even going like Rabbi Akiva. Maybe Rabbi Akiva says that you don't have to keep him. That's talking about what you never stipulated with him from the beginning. But where you stipulated, you stipulated. And therefore, in this case, if it's just stipulated from the beginning, even Rabbi Akiva will agree. Amar Rav Kana, Amrita l'shmarta, I said this, halakha of Rabbi Papa. Well, actually, this is the opinion of Rabbi Elai. Kamed Rav Zvid min Harde'a, for Rav Zvid min Harde'a. V'amadi, so he said, Iyacheh, meaning if Rabbi Akiva is agreeing, that if the condition was made from the beginning, that you told, that the Eved said, I'm not converting, and you bought him on that condition. So the Vakika Amar Rabbi Akiva, Belokeh, Eved min Hashem Ashot, V'lo Espik Lamulo, L'shni Leha. Why above that he had to explain the case of V'yinafesh ben Amadecha, where you bought an Eved ben Hashem Ashot? Why did you have to explain it like that? You could even explain where you bought the Eved, with the condition from the beginning, on the onset, that he doesn't want to convert. And according to this, you're telling me that Elai is telling me that even if Yaakov has more there. So that's a case of Yenafesh Ben Amatecha. Why you got to give me the Ben Hashem Ashot case? So comes the Gemara and answers, "Vilita'amech." So therefore, they asked the question now to Rav Zvid. They told him, "Listen, lishni lecha," which means even according to you, Rav Zvid, you said a minute ago that what? That the Rabbi Akiva said one of two reasons, which means he could have gave, he gave the reason of Ben Hashem Ashot. That's how you have an Eved that's not Mahul according to Rabbi Akiva, because you bought him right before Shabbat. Or you agreed that in a case where he accepted it and then changed his mind, so you also said Rabbi Akiva will agree. So that's one of two reasons. So just like you agree that the Gemara above gave one of two reasons, we could say Elahad Metre Utlat Ta'ame Ka'amar. I could say he gave one of three reasons, which means there's a third reason over here, which means the third reason could be that according to Rabbi Akiva, the reason why you're allowed to keep him is a case where you stipulated from the beginning that he's not going to convert. So therefore, basically we have three reasons how Rabbi Akiva can explain the Pasuk V'Yinafesh Ben Amatecha. Either it means when you bought him right before Shabbat, so therefore there was no time to circumcise him, or the case is talking about where he accepted upon himself Gerut, then changed his mind, so Rabbi Akiva will agree that you have 12 months to talk him into it again, or it's talking about where you stipulated immediately when you bought him that he's not going to convert. In that case, even Rabbi Akiva is modeh. So the Gemara only gave one of two or three reasons when explained that Pasuk according to Rabbi Akiva. So that's the way the Gemara said. Rav Zvid, you yourself said above that Rabbi Akiva gave one of two reasons. So now you will say he gave one of three reasons, which means now already we have this third interpretation that was saying that if he stipulated from the beginning, in the Chalamei Rabbi Akiva says you can keep him. Comes the Gemara and says, Yetiv Rav Hanina Bar Papi V'Rabbi Ami V'Rabbi Yitzhak Nafha Akil Ad Rabbi Yitzhak Nafha. The rabbis were sitting on the porch of Rabbi Yitzhak Nafha V'Yadve V'Kamer, and they were saying, Ira Hataita Be'Eretz Yisrael. There was a certain city in Eretz Yisrael, V'Lo Ratzu Ab, and their avadim did not want to circumcise. So they talked to them for 12 months to try to convince them. And then they didn't accept still, so therefore they had to sell them to the Ovdei Kochavim. So the Gemara says, Keman, which shita is this? Ki hai tana, it's following the following tana. The tanya, we have a braita. Eved min Ovdei Kochavim, velo ratza lamul, he buys an eved from the Ovdei Kochavim, but he does not want to circumcise. Megalgil emo ad shenem asar chodesh. You talk to him for 12 months to try to talk him into it. Lo mal, but after 12 months, if he still does not want to circumcise, chozer umuchro le'ovdei kochavim, you sell him to the ovdei kochavim. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, en mashin oto be'eretz Yisrael, bepnei hefsed taharot. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says a chumrah now. He says, we're not allowed to keep such an eved in Eretz Yisrael at all, because the law is a goy is mitameh teruma. If a goy touches teruma, hakamim put a tuma on it, and therefore we don't want to keep this fellow in our house even a day, because in Eretz Yisrael there's terumot, and therefore since he does not want to accept upon himself conversion, so therefore he's going to be metameh the taharot that he touches. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, in order to strengthen the mitzvah of teruma in Eretz Yisrael, and eved that is not mal, so we do not give him this 12-month period. She's the first opinion of the Blight that said 12 months. It's mashma even in Eretz Yisrael. So the Bishra says, no, in Eretz Yisrael, hefsed taro, we don't want him to keep him around, because since he didn't convert, he doesn't want to mal himself or convert, which that really means. Therefore, we consider he's going to metamet taro to be'ira simuchal la sefar. And now let's say you have a city that's close to Eretz Yisrael, so you're not allowed to keep the Eved also in that area in the border cities, even let's say outside of Eretz Yisrael, but on the border in Mashin Oto, you cannot leave this Eved kol ikar at all. Sheme Yishma Davar, because we're concerned since he's still a goy, he might overhear certain things that are pertinent to the security of Eretz Yisrael. But he's a goy. Ve'yelech v'yomal ha'averov v'et kochavim. So he's going to go tell the goyim some of our secrets, and therefore it's going to jeopardize the security of Eretz Yisrael. So you cannot keep him there at all. Now, what's the difference? We just said that even if he's in Eretz Yisrael in somebody's house, you can't keep him there. So what's the difference between the border law and when he's in somebody's house in Eretz Yisrael? So the explanation is like this. When a goy is in somebody's house in Eretz Yisrael and he doesn't want to convert, so the Mishmar Min Lazar says you got to get rid of him. Meaning you could sell him. You could take time to find a buyer. But once you find a buyer, you got to get rid of him. Why? Because we don't want him to touch a tiruma, and he's going to mafsid the tarot of Eretz Yisrael. Mashi'enken, when there's a goy in Eved, that's by the border, meaning even outside of Israel, but by the border, that does not want to convert, and he's in Eved, so then you got to get rid of him. You have to expunge him from that area immediately. miyad. You don't wait till you find a buyer, because it's going to jeopardize the security of Eretz Yisrael to have a goy living at the border. He might, you know, give away some security issues. So therefore, there's quite a mishum in al-Hazar. A regular Eved in Eretz Yisrael that doesn't want to accept conversion, you got to get rid of him, and he could find a buyer. But on the border, you got to get rid of him immediately. Whereas Tanakama says, you have 12 months, even in Eretz Yisrael, to talk him into it. Tanya Rabbi Hananya ben Osher Rabbi Gamliel Omer. What's the reason why Gerim, converts, in our time, they have affliction and troubles come on them? Which means why they have such hardships, the Gerim, in our times. So the Gemara answers, unbelievable, because they did not fulfill, when they were Goyim, they did not fulfill the seven mitzvot, b'nei Noah. Which means, Borei Olam did not punish the Goyim when they were Goyim. Because Borei Olam says, I'll punish them, you know, at the end, when they, after 120, then I'll punish them. However, once they convert, so now God wants to punish them in this world for the fact that they didn't keep the seven mitzvot b'nei Noah, so when they pass away, they can go straight to Olam Abba. So therefore, the reason why they suffer as Gerim is because they did not keep the seven mitzvot b'nei Noah when they were Goyim. And again, the reason why Borei Olam didn't punish them when they were Goyim is because when they Goyim, Borei Olam says, I'll punish them after 120. To punish them eternally. However, now that they converted, so Borei Olam wants to give them their punishment in this world, so that's why they have hard life. Rabbi Yosei Omer, a different interpretation. Ger shenit gayer ke katan shenolad dameh. So what are you talking about? We have a rule that a convert that converts is considered as if he's newly born, which means he has no past. He starts a new slate. And therefore, how could you punish him for the old things that he did? It's like he was just born. So then with that, he doesn't accept that interpretation. The reason why the Ger is getting punishment in this world is because of his old deeds. Oh, he's newly born. So why are they tortured? Because they're really not Shomer Torah Mitzvot so well, because they don't know really all the laws. So therefore, because of that, Borei Olam punishes them. Not only because they don't follow the law so well, but also because of their not following the laws, they affect Bnei Israel, because they weaken Bnei Israel, because we see them, and other people are going to learn from them, unfortunately. And therefore, they get punished for two reasons. Number one, because they themselves are not careful in the law, and their actions are going to dilute the observance of everybody else. Kabbalah gives a different interpretation. Because they do not serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu out of Ahava, they don't fulfill the mitzvah of Ahavat Hashem. They only serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Yir'ah, meaning they're scared of Gehinnam, they're scared of punishment, and therefore, since they don't accept the mitzvot me'ahava, so Borei Olam punishes them in this world, only because they're serving him Mi'ir'ah. Ahayrim Omrim, in the last interpretation, because they delayed their conversions, which means they're getting punished. Why didn't you convert so fast? What took you so long? So they get punished for the delay. Now, what do you mean they get punished for the delay? Is there an obligation for a goy to convert? So explanation is, once he came to the truths of the Torah, so he has to convert immediately. Which means if there was a delay from the time that he came to the truths of the Torah, and he understood the emet of Torah, so then already has to be done immediately. Like we see in the Pasuk that the Gemara quotes now, Amar Rabbi Abu Ve'etim Arav Harina Me'ekra. How do we know this over here? Because the Pasuk says by Rut, when Rut converted, what does Boaz tell Rut? Yishalem Hashem Pa'olech. God should pay you for your deeds. Uti Maskurtek Shilema Me'im Hashem Elohei Yisrael. And you should get full reward from the God of Israel, Asher Bat Lahasot, that you came to seek shelter under his wings, the Gomer. So we see from this pasuk over that Boaz blessed Ruth because she came. It says the pasuk Asher Bat, that she came. So the pasuk could have just said Asher Hast Ta'at Kenafav. What did it mean, the pasuk, that you came? So Boaz was saying that you came immediately. That once you realized the truths of the Torah, you did not hesitate. So you see that the Gerim are punished today because they delayed in their process of conversion. Tosfot says on the bottom, Asher bat lahasot perush shemiharta, meaning you came quickly. Now, Tosfot has a question. Tosfot says, that what are you talking about? How could she have come quickly? We see that one statement is a Gemara that says Ruth was the daughter of Eglon Melech Moav. Eglon, the king of Moab. Now, he makes a calculation that from the time of Eglon Melech Moab all the way to the time of Boaz is 200 years. So therefore, what do you mean she came quickly? She was already from the time of Eglon. And then Boaz was 200 years later. So the Tosafot explains that when it says she was the daughter, it doesn't mean she was the daughter, it means she was the descendant. So therefore she was not a direct daughter of Eglon, unless she was a descendant of Eglon, and when she lived in the times of Boaz, she converted immediately, and that's what she was being praised. Baruch Anu Le'olam, Amen Ve'Amen.